No, really, what are friends for? Friends are for letting it be okay to be a hot mess. I'm Pallavi Sastry.
And I'm Pallavi's best friend, Gabrielle Ruiz. What's going on, hot mess?
Oh, you know, I'm just trying to be okay with it is really what I'm trying to, like, that's the work I'm trying to do. I'm going to go straight into my flex and my fucked for the week. It's like, I feel like I'm in a hot mess situation because I feel like my mom brain is getting worse because I'm in this season right now. And this is the dilemma. It's like, I'm in this season right now where my dreams are coming true. Like, my professional dreams are coming true, right? And my financial dreams are on the cusp of coming true, but I'm also feeling very overextended. And so it's this like delicate dance of like being in the moment, but also trying to constantly avoid burnout. And that is like, and the tricky thing about burnout, and I don't know if you feel this way, is that I don't ever see burnout coming because I get things done. So when it's here, it's like all of a sudden here, right? And
yeah,
it's like,
ride or die.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that happened to me, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I just like texted you like 30 minutes before we were supposed to like do an episode in the evening. I was like, I can't do it.
Do it. I remember.
I can't do it. And so I think it's like, that's why I'm saying it's like both. It's like, it's great things that are happening, but like, I'm trying to tell myself that it's okay to not have the process figured out. And so thank you for making it a safe space for me to admit that I can't do these things.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. Well, my response to that is like, you're never alone, because when you texted me that, I was so relieved because I was like, oh good, I can't do it either. Oh my God, neither can I. I can't do it. That's what friends are for, is like, you're just being honest, and also taking a break is, oh, even the tired version of oh, is
absolutely.
Oh,
Exactly. How about you? What was your flex and fuck this week?
A good flex is, I kind of had like a meet the parents but friend version, like a friend edition with a friend of ours. And I told her, I was like,
say more,
bring him over, I would like to get to know him, like a full senora about it. Like, I was just like, that person, they were both at your birthday party, and it was just like, you know, short talk and all that, but this friend of ours is like so special, so long term. Of, you know, I've known this person for at least a decade by now, and just wonderful human beings, and the people that she has dated before are also wonderful human beings. And so, is this one a wonderful human being too? Can it be? Because apparently this is the one.
Right. We thought the last one was the run.
Well, no, I say apparently because I don't want to, you know, this might come out and like, you know, she might listen to this in 2026. Who knows what's happening, you know? But I just really care for this friend. And I went out on a limb with this like request. I feel it was like a pretty like kind of, I don't know, self-righteous. I don't know what the right word is. And she was like, absolutely. Can we come like the last day before we leave LA? Like, she made the last day of her trip in Los Angeles for like to come over and have dinner.
Aww.
And even add on top that my parents were in town. So I was like, you know, friend, this might like turn into like an actual meet the parents night that are not even your parents.
Yeah.
But it ended up being lovely. And this guy is great.
Yeah.
I haven't even sent her a text yet. Maybe that's what my fucked up moment is. I haven't even sent her a text yet of like, by the way, I approve, because the guy was like, let us know what you think. Like, it was very all out there. Like, we all knew that I was like,
how
senora
fun.
About it.
And you know, when you told me that you did that, I actually sent her a text and I said, I'm so like, I know I wasn't very available while you were in town, but I want to let you know that I'm so happy that you're so happy. And we can't wait to spend more time with you when we're all available. And so it's actually, I want to say like, it's kind of unlike you, right? It's like kind of unlike you to really like, be like, I want to be approved, or like, did you think of it as like, I want to approve of the boyfriend? Like, is that, because I feel like that's not really like
entitled,
like,
in my
you,
opinion.
For like, for you, it was new practice for you to have your boyfriend be like, you know, come around your girlfriends and have your girlfriend sign off. Like, that was a new thing for you. So now it's interesting to see you on the other side of that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it does feel like new territory for me. Maybe I should take a friendship survey, you know, and like let the experts tell me.
You did that. Let's do this. Let's do this segue, Gabrielle Ruiz.
Thank you. My favorite thing about you, Pallavi, is when I do something off script, like off notes, you have to point it out. You just have to. You can't just let the track laugh, girl.
I'm such a producer in that way. I'm just like, that was not written down. That was not pre-planned.
I know. I took improv 101 and 102 and I quit after that. So at least I had a little bit of it, because I'm a dancer. I'm a 5, 6, 7, 8 for life. So don't worry. I'm with you.
But we are very excited about our guest today, because we sort of insta-stalked her for a bit, and we were just like, hey, in her DMs. Yeah. And we were like, hey, do you see this message? And then we were like, oh, here's an email. Okay, there's an email address. Anna, go email her. And so
book her.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's a friendship expert episode. And when we do the expert episodes, I feel like for us, we treat it like a level up opportunity. So this is very exciting for us.
Oh my gosh. So without further ado, please welcome professor, speaker, and author, Dr. Marissa G. Franco.
Hi.
Welcome to What Are Friends For? Dr. Franco, is that what you want us to call you?
You can call me Marissa.
We're friends. We are so excited to have you because, like Pallavi said, the friendship expert thing, we know that we are not experts. And so it's always nice every season to actually get the real deal and the real person, the person that really thinks things through when it comes to this niche topic of life, of connection, of just being a human. By God. And so we would love to hear like a little bit of your origin story. Like what's your thing? Let our listeners know.
Yeah. Well, first I want to share, it was just lovely listening to you all banter with each other and seeing all your friendship chemistry. So thank you for letting me observe. I came to friendship, to focus on friendship through really regret, I would say. I was very much focused on romantic partnerships in my younger 20s, going through these breakups and feeling really bad about myself. So I started this wellness group with my friends where we meditated, cooked, did yoga together. And the most healing thing of all was just the community and being around these people who I love, who love me every week. And you know, at that point, just seeing how formidable this love was and how much of an impact it had on me, I began to wonder about some of the ways that I had looked at friendship prior, which was that romantic love makes me lovable. It's what makes me worthy. It's the love that really matters, sort of legitimizes me. And I was like, well, this love has always been around me. And why shouldn't it count? Why shouldn't it matter? And, you know, I sort of wrote my book Platonic because I felt like this is a larger cultural problem that not just I face, and that so many of us miss out on this gold underneath our feet because we see it as concrete. So I want to elevate the status of friendship more generally in society. And I think in order to do that, I had to share with people the tools for making and keeping friends.
I mean, that's a wrap on the show. Thanks for coming on, Doctor. Oh, we're so excited to have you. This is gold.
The gold under our feet because we saw it as concrete. Whoa. So we do a segment on the show, which you heard a little bit of us doing it at the beginning, where we call it a friendship flex or a friend flex. And so what we want to do right now is like talk about and have you talk about your book and its and the evolution of that book and how it came to getting a publishing deal and all that stuff. Like, basically, we want you to flex about the process of that and let us celebrate that for a second.
Hey, friends, go on and flex.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, you write the book Proposal, if it's nonfiction, which summarizes the book. Start cold pitching, what's called querying, reaching out to agents, because if you want to publish with a major publisher, you need an agent to be able to get in contact with them. And I guess this is a bit of a flex. I didn't know anyone who wrote a book. And I realized that cold pitching agents doesn't really work. It's very hard. You have to get a referral. So I write for Psychology Today. I wrote this article about someone else's book. And she, Ellen Hendrickson, she has a great book, How to Be Yourself on Social Anxiety. So she DM'd me and was like, oh, yeah, thank you so much for writing about my book. I love your topic, friendship. And we were chatting a little bit. And I was like, actually, like, could you introduce me to your agent? And she introduced me to her agent. And in 2 days, I heard back. And they were like, we want to sign this. Funny enough, they were the first agency I had cold pitched and hadn't heard back from. But then when I had that friend, that connection, they were really interested. And so we, they helped me really develop the proposal. We auctioned it. You know, there's a few publishers that were interested, which was super cool. And I signed with Penguin Random House. And so far it's already sold in like 10 countries, which is super awesome.
Flex. Ah! Oh, we're so excited for you.
Thank you.
I love that for you.
So where can, so people can find it wherever they find books then?
Yep.
Is it widely available?
Yes,
okay,
it
perfect.
Is.
We can't wait to get our hands on it and have a whole nother episode because we have done this before. You're new to what our friends for, but what we do is we really geek out over our friendship experts and we take all the content that they put out there and then we talk about it even more because some, because we look at it as like, you know, those are tools for us to learn as well because we are not the experts.
Which leads to the next thing I would like to dive into and also have our listeners go check out on Marissa's website. There is immediately an opportunity to take a friendship questionnaire and a quiz. I'm like, there's a survey to assess your friendship strengths and weaknesses. Okay, Dr. Marissa, like that is fierce. What was the prompt and what was the reason why you wanted to put that like at the top, like at the front page of your website?
Yeah, because I think, well, when it comes to friendship, people don't know what they're doing wrong. They really don't. We're never taught how to create these relationships at all. We're you know, educated so little.
Absolutely.
In the art of building relationships. So I think the survey is there to just bring people that self-awareness. Like, what are things that I could be working on that might improve my ability to make and keep friends with others?
We looked at that and we had a couple of questions that came up. So if you don't mind, we want to sort of dive into the questionnaire itself because sometimes those questions are actually kind of hard to answer because you overthink them because there's no, like you said, like there's no like linear way to learn about this relationship, right? So one of the things I had a question about is, first of all, why a scale of 1 to 7 and not 1 to 5 or 1 to 10? Like, it's actually a very interesting number range that you chose.
That is a great question. I wish I had a more informed way to answer this, aside from that, you know, questionnaires and academic research often have a scale of 1 to 7. And so my survey sort of reflects that. Yeah.
Got it. So it's an academia and an intellectual thing that I have no idea about. So,
okay.
Gabrielle, you had one too.
Well, I mean, the confession is, I think, already out there that Paulavi and I both took the survey and we prepared our feedback. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Paulavi may be a little more on the defense of her results than I am. I'm just like, ooh, burn, Gabrielle. Maybe that's true. But what I want to say too is I appreciate in this survey a lot of the prompted questions or the prompted statements that you scale yourself from 1 to 7 is I try. I really appreciated mm-hmm. that. What was the importance of the strategy behind choosing the sentence forming?
Yeah. So when it comes to friendship, right, I think people judge themselves by an outcome like I made a friend, but you're not in control of that outcome, right? And so how can we judge ourselves by an outcome we can't control? So, in my opinion, when you're, for example, taking initiative to make friends, you're succeeding by the act, not by the outcome, because you don't control the outcome. And if you're engaging in the act over time, you're making it more likely that you're going to succeed.
Mm. Interesting. So it's like the I try thing is like a sort of a prompt and also like a sort of encouraging us to continue working on the thing by asking the question itself.
Yeah, because I think if I use a question like I make friends, or, you know, someone wants to
I'm
be friends with me.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
I'm good at making
yeah,
friends.
It's just maybe. Hard because that depends on your environment, right? Not necessarily you. So I want to assess you, because otherwise I'm giving you feedback about something that you can't control.
You also ask questions that are not just about making friends, but about within your friendships, right? So like on the survey. So one of the thing she's alluding to, Gabrielle, where I got a little defensive, where it was question number four, where it says, I try not to impose my views on friends. And my short answer to that is, yes, I would give myself a 7, but there are many times that I find in a longstanding friendship, and I want to hear your take on this, in a longstanding friendship where you want to help your friends and you want to help them, you know, maybe come out of a cycle that they of habits or like, you know, a pattern that they're in where they, and you want to, you know, that you have information that could help them. It's not, it really, like, sometimes I feel like this is not really about me. It's, I truly feel like I want to say something here and maybe help them change their mindset so they don't put themselves in this like cyclical, like, you know, misery that they're in, whether it's about money or it's about their romantic relationships, you know? So I wonder, I was sort of confused on how to answer that question.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think when I developed the question, I was sort of thinking more like you were, like, it sounds like in how you're explaining it, you're sort of like, I try to help my friends meet the goals that they have for themselves. So I might point out some stumbling blocks that they have in the way. And I think that's aligned with, I don't impose goals onto my friends, right? But rather I see that this is the goal that you have, and I want to give you some advice and some feedback on how I think you might reach that. So that, I think, encompasses the quality that I'm really getting at with that question, which is this idea of identity affirmation, which is linked to your best friendship being more likely to endure over time. And identity affirmation is, I really try to affirm you in the identity you want for yourself and not impose the identity that I would want for myself. So my example is like, your friend's like, I want to move to Mexico. And you're like, I would never want to do that. I love my community. You know, I've been here for so long, right? I will miss my friend. But with your high in identity affirmation, you're able to say, they are not me. And even if I would never do that, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't enjoy that. And I'm able to recognize and understand that they are a separate person and root for them in pursuing the goals that they really want.
Yeah, I can say that I truly, that resonates with me for sure. And I think it maybe comes down to like I need to work on my communication style in like what I'm trying to, what my desire is for them, like what my dream is for them in terms of me trying to share it. It's like, so I end up like asking a lot of questions, and then I don't know what to do about the red flag. So like, I'm just going to think about that for a second. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So then I just don't say anything. I'm just like, I don't think they want to hear from me on this. So I'm just going to like ask the questions, and they seem excited. So I'm just going to stop.
I understand. It can feel hard to not want to make your friend feel judged, but also not want them to, you know, fall into these holes. Like when I was in LA, I was visiting my best friend, and, you know, she's dating, and she's just went through that. She was really interested in this guy and it didn't work out, and she's starting to date again. And I was just sort of like, well, remember the last time you went through a breakup and then you said it was way too early to start dating right after? Kind of trying to share her words back to her. Like, what do you think about that now? Right. You know, I just wanted to remind you of that.
Yeah, it's definitely a delicate balance. But that's the question I would say, like, I spent the most time on. I was like, I don't know, just pick a number. Like, just
like, but am I a 6 or am I a 7 on that one? Okay, let's dive into one of my results, because listen, I'm always like, what can I work on?
Same,
because a lot of our seasons, you know, I know seasons 1 through 5 for WAF, for us here, people know how we met. People know what our baggage was before and why we started the show. And so now it's nice to get like, I really appreciate this survey for me, because like, it's just nice to have other things to dive into in our season. So a strength, we'll say a strength before we get into the weaknesses, because I really want to go in the weaknesses. But my favorite strength was, Pallavi, let me know if this is true. I often expect praise for my friends.
I feel like you're really good at giving praise. So if you expect it, then that's good for me to know, I guess.
And it says for my friends. I thought it was from my friends, first of all. And I was like, oh, it's for my friends. That's different. Any thoughts on that, Doctor?
Yeah, I think the larger quality I'm sort of getting at is, you know, the degree to which we share affirmation for each other in our friendships, which is which is key because there's this theory called risk regulation theory, and it basically argues that either we are in this mode where we're protecting ourselves or we are protecting our relationships, and the two can be very antithetical. When I am protecting myself, I'm not initiating, I'm not affirming other people, I'm not vulnerable. All of those would make me be more likely to be exploited, and I don't trust, so I'm focused on self-protection. Whereas when I'm in pro-relationship mode, I'm vulnerable, I'm sharing compliments, I'm being generous with people, right? All of these things that if it's with the wrong people, I'm going to be more vulnerable. And what affection and affirmation mm-hmm. does to a relationship is it tells people you can feel safe to be in pro-relationship mode with me. You can feel safe to invest in me, because risk regulation theory also argues that we decide how much to invest in a relationship based on our assessment of the degree to which we might be rejected. So these high affirmers are telling people, you won't be rejected. You won't be rejected. I like you. I value you. You know, like I compliment you. And they tend to receive it back too. It tends to be very reciprocal. What we put out, we get back. It's reciprocity theory, it's called in the research. And so they're really good at making friends because they make people feel safe to try to become friends with them.
Yeah, guys, what she said, what the doctor said. That's exactly, I agree with everything that she just said.
Well, I think Gabrielle, like, you know, it's interesting because like she was talking about, you know, you're feeling when you're in pro relationship mode. And I think that's probably why you and I do the thing where like, you know, actually recently, Marissa, she informed me that I'm really bad at reacting to good news. Like she's looking for really big reactions when like great things happen. And I'm usually just like, that's great.
I'm like, guess what? The milestone happened, Paula Bean. She's like, great. I was like, got it. Got to call Risa instead of Paula Bean. Because Risa will be like,
no, but I'm just... Well, it's good for me to know though, right? Because it's like not my MO. Because I was also at the same time continually working on accepting compliments, and I want them, right? So it's like it's good for me to hear that like what I want is what I should be also working on in return, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a theme of friendship. What you demand from others, you should hold yourself accountable.
And I had no idea that I was so bad at
it. I mean, to quote me incorrectly, I didn't say you were so bad at it. I was just like, you know, you just are not, you're like the non-reactive friend. What kind of friend is Paula B? Non-reactive. I don't like it. It's fine. Okay. Okay.
But I am truly, truly jazzed about your news though.
My milestones. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. One of my weaknesses endorses unwritten rule that friendship should always be easy and never stressful. Yikes. I love these results because they're not necessarily just honest, but they're so descriptive where you have a moment to like let it sit and unpack it. So let's unpack that.
It is such a common one. It's one that I really struggle with in others because you know, we unnecessarily siphon our relationships into these different compartments, romantic, familial, platonic, and it keeps us from realizing that what makes one relationship succeed makes all of these relationships succeed, right? Affirmation, investment, spending time together, you know, being vulnerable with each other, giving and receiving support. But somehow we have this view on friendship that it's different. It should always be easy. It should always be stress-free. It's positive vibes only, when intimacy is intimacy, and intimacy requires difficult moments. It requires working through conflict, right? And in fact, how I have come to define friendship, you know, I talk on my Instagram about the difference between good company and a good friend. To me, good company is someone whose company you enjoy. You like them as a person. But a good friend is someone that knows that friendship is a commitment, an investment, and a responsibility, who is there to show up in the hard times and, you know, affirm your successes and, you know, try to support you in general, right? And try to show up for you. And so, you know, I just think that that has to become part of our concept of friendship. Otherwise, our friendships are never going to get as deep and as profound as they could be, right? And I think a lot of us see friendship as inferior to our other relationships, but don't recognize I'm actually treating this friendship in a way that makes it inferior. I'm investing less time and investing less energy. I'm not working through conflict. I'm not affirming you as much. Any relationship that you invest less in is not going to be as deep or as powerful. So I hope that we can normalize and free ourselves up to really just treat friendship as any other intimate relationship.
Yeah. And you also, you sort of touched on it now, but in the weakness is part of, like, you know, whenever you get your results for the survey, it's like there's a to work on section, right? And so, like, and then you also refer to how one of the things that your book is going to touch on is identifying how baggage shows up in our friendship. And that's sort of what the to work on sections address, I think, in your survey. I hope that's the right hypothesis that I'm drawing right there. But can you maybe give a practical example of, like, common baggage and how it might show up in friendship?
Yeah. So my book is based on attachment theory. And kind of the idea of attachment theory is how we've connected has shaped our personalities. It's sculpted who we are, whether we are warm, trusting, vulnerable, open, kind, generous. All of those things are predicted by our previous experiences of attachment, our previous relationships, right? But then who we are then affects how we connect, right? It's not random. Those of us that have had healthy relationships are better able to continue to create healthy relationships because our template for relationships is so positive, and it allows us to then take the risks of intimacy because we assume things are going to turn out well. And so that's really securely attached people. Whereas people that are more insecurely attached, there's two major types of insecure attachment, anxious and avoidant. Their template for relationships based on their past baggage is that people are going to reject and abandon them. And so their personality, part of their personality is a bunch of strategies to prepare themselves for that rejection that they think will happen. So anxiously attached people tend to cling very close to people. They perceive rejection even when it's not there. Their friendships move very quickly. They don't address conflict because they fear, again, that people will abandon them. They tend to be overly self-sacrificing until they sort of blow up and can't take it anymore, right? And so, and then avoidantly attached people, they also fear people will reject and abandon them. But their strategy is, I'm going to close myself off. They don't initiate friendships. They don't reach out to maintain them. They're more likely to ghost on other people. They're not really vulnerable with other people. And, you know, those insecure attachments are, it's not that anything's wrong with us. It's not the question of what's wrong with you. Rather, it's the question of what's happened to you. And so that's from Bruce Perry and Oprah, not a Marissa trademark, but I think it's a really great way of looking at these questions. But my book is basically about how can we all find secure attachment no matter what our history is. And so I really share some ways to do that.
Everyone go check out Platonic, How the Science of Attachment Can Help You Make and Keep Friends.
Thank you.
I am so happy that you're on this program today, because usually with the notes at the end of our, I like to, like, catch some quotes before our producers go into it and whatnot, but I can't because everything is gold. Like, it's just the whole episode.
We're going to go into our last segment.
Lightning wall.
Do you believe friendship is romantic?
Yes. Asexual communities have taught me that romance and sexual interests are different, and romance is, I feel passionate about you. I idealize you. You thrill me. You know, I yearn for you, right? And throughout history, that's been quite normal in friendship. That has been very much part of friendship. The assumption was that because the genders were considered so distinct, that you can only truly and deeply connect with people that share your gender, which tended to be your friends. And so, you know, romantic love has just been a part of friendship for centuries.
What is your favorite on-screen friendship?
I definitely think Issa and Molly. I mean, they have such rock. Their romantic relationships are so rocky, and yet their friendship was also a little bit rocky, to be honest. But, you know, I think that you can watch Insecure and come away with just the sense that this was the love story all along. This is the relationship that has fulfilled them, that has stabilized them the most out of any other. And so I just think it really depicted well this, the intimacy that specifically female friendships can really take on.
In one word or hyphenate, what kind of friend are you?
An opener, which is a friend that can really get people to open up. Also a psychologist, not a coincidence.
And what would you like to do better as a friend?
Ooh, that's a good question. I want to be discerning about the friends that I really want to prioritize and engage strategically at cultivating deeper relationships with people that I specifically choose and curate as wanting them to be a part of my life instead of being equal opportunity and treating all the relationships the same.
We call that putting them on the tier cake, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Lastly, Dr. Marissa G. Franco, what are friends for?
I think friends, the one of the biggest power of community is that it heals us and it breaks intergenerational trauma, because we know a relationship that can be different and healthier than what we might have known as children. And so that can really change us.
First time for that answer, I'll tell you that.
I am moved. I am shook. We are so grateful to know you and hopefully call you a friend. Thank you for coming on Off today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Y'all are really wonderful. And I'm so happy that you're doing this. And I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you. For many more conversations to come, hopefully, please check out the book Platonic wherever you buy your books, hopefully at a small business bookstore in your local neighborhood. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. and presented by Hoo Ha Ha. Our co-producer is Anna Daneker.
Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho, Rose Harwood, and Philip Pisanchin.
Head of production is Emily Albright. Digital content director is Susie Cabello. Our digital production assistant is Daniela Heredia Vega.
Our podcast artwork is created by Arshwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and special thanks to Hari Savitala and Sarah Khan.
Don't forget to check out the Hoo Ha Ha website to listen to WAF and all things women-led comedy. And as always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening now. This helps our show's visibility and helps us keep making it for you.
And find us on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even Twitter at WAF Podcast. That's WAFF Podcast. To find links to our exclusive vodcasts, live shows, shop merch, or even text us, visit WAFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, I really haven't checked in with them in a while? Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.